Hi, this is Andrew.
And this is Amy, and in this episode, AADL talks to Executive Director Donald Harrison about the upcoming 50th Ann Arbor Film Festival.
In this podcast, I talk with Donald about what goes into making a 50th festival, filmmakers that will be returning from past festivals, and what new material we have to look forward to this year. So, when do you start planning for a 50th anniversary film festival?
We actually started planning 5 years ago, and in all sincerity, actual meetings and real planning 2 years ago. So when we had our 49th, at some point we realized we needed to make sure we did the 49th because we had spent so much time working on the 50th. And so it's been a conversation, a topic, since I got involved, which was a little bit over 5 years ago. It was make sure we save the festival. This was back when we had our censorship funding controversy back in 2006, 2007. So save it so we can get to this 50th. And here we are. We've made it.
So what was your approach in those meetings? How did you start to think about how you would do a 50th?
We brainstormed some pretty ridiculous ideas. And then at some point, we made choices as far as what was going to be our focus. Because at the end of the day, we're not a ginormous, huge organization. There's just a handful of us that put it all together. And we already do a lot just to put on the festival each year, which is great. It's this great celebration. So how do you do something even more spectacular when it's still pretty much similar resources? And fortunately, we did have more people come on in support of us this year, which was a huge help, notably the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences that supported archival historic films at the 50th. And that became one of the big pieces, was for us to bring back a lot of films that have played over these 50 years, choosing through the more than 5,000 that have played at the Ann Arbor Film Festival since 1963, as well as a few programs of archival films that have never played here before. And so that became one piece. And then for us, it really was looking at, well, who are some of the artists that we really do want to highlight? And what are some of the ways that we can pay tribute to the past while also retaining the mission and the spirit, which is about what's contemporary, what's at the forefront, and what's exciting and dynamic within film, video, multimedia performance, hybrid forms that we don't even know how to describe yet. And that's very much the heart and soul of what the festival's about. But we definitely wanted to dedicate a portion of the festival to the founder, George Manupelli, who will be here, and Vicki Honeyman and Ruth Bradley, who are directors, significant figures in the festival, and make sure that we acknowledge that history, we pay tribute to that, screen some of the great work that has come through here, and have that in conversation with a lot of the new works that we're presenting. So we're excited to see this unfold, and it's really going to be a pretty amazing collection of films, but also people who are going to be here this year.
And do you just kind of feel your way through striking that balance between the old and the new? Did you have some kind of a rubric that you used, or did you just kind of try to do it by instinct?
I'd say it's a combination of instinct, of research, of word of mouth. I mean, a lot of times you talk to the one person who'd mention a name of somebody who we'd never heard of, and then we would start talking to them or start talking to other people. So the past year in particular, we've done a lot of research, a lot of going through the archives. And in fact, you know, the library here was a big part of that with the digital archive that we are now hosting through the library. And so through that, we would learn a lot and see certain names that come up quite a bit. And then it really boiled down to who feels strongly connected, who was willing to come in and spend a week with us. And somebody like a Pat Alesko, who's a pretty renowned performance artist. She got her start here in Ann Arbor performing at the Ann Arbor Film Festival back in the 60s and now lives in New York. And, you know, she's going to be here. She's going to do another performance. She's somebody who's, you know, very core to the fabric of what this festival's foundation is. And, you know, there's thousands of people who've been part of it, but there's certain people who are so involved and so passionate about it that they're willing to take out the time, and typically, you know, not because of the money, we're not throwing giant sums of money around at people to all bring them back, but very much because they want to be here, because it means something to them. And, you know, it's been great just to see so many people that really, it does mean a lot to them.
And was that the reaction you got from the George Manupellis and the Pat Alescos, that you would call them and they'd say, yeah, tell me when, and I will be there, whatever I can do for the festival?
Yes, that has been by and large the response from people. And of course, within that, we have a lot of personalities and a lot of characters. And so, you know, it's also been it's been a lot of fun. It's been an adventure this year because of navigating so many different personalities, different characters who all have really strong histories. You know, we've learned a lot. It's been a lot of fun, and you know, obviously a lot of work to sort of dig through all of the boxes and the papers and the floppy disks and all those things. There's going to be a few of the directors who have not been here in a long time. Ruth Bradley, who wrote her dissertation on the first 20 years of the festival, she's going to come here for the first time in a long time. And so, yeah, it's exciting to have a lot of the living history, people who have the stories and have those experiences, as well as a lot of people who've just been audience goers. We did a whole section of the program book this year, and we're calling it a program book. We've just made the shift because we crossed over the 100-page threshold. So it was last year an 88-page book. This year it's 128 pages. An entire section devoted to stories from different people, some of the past directors, but as well as somebody like Karp Czernetsky, who's been going every year as an audience goer since the second festival. He missed the first year. And so he has this amazing knowledge and history with the festival, just as somebody in the community who's gone. And he's an engineer. We asked him to write a little piece for the book. And so there's going to be a whole section of these great stories and essays of the history as kind of a starting point to capture some of that, because it really is a pretty pretty unique, incredible history that Ann Arbor and Ann Arbor Film Festival has had within independent cinema as that's grown and evolved and become what it is today.
And in doing your research, did you find that things really, it was a gradual process of from where it started to where you are now, or were there just sudden shifts that would occur at various times that changed the face of the festival?
It definitely had its cycles. So you can see, like, I think any nonprofit that makes it for a long time, there's going to be the highs and lows. I think there's the several times that it almost went under, you know. And so when I came in 5-6 years ago, it was one of those sort of low points where we had to sort of go in and make sure we saved it and built it back up again. And so it's had a few of those. And then it's also had a few jumps in terms of switching to the Michigan Theater in 1980. And that was a big shift, going from the campus and having a different environment, different rules that applied. And so you can see the 1980, there was a lot of concern about it losing its character. And then it was a big success because, well, the Michigan Theater is fantastic and a beautiful venue. And it's one of the, you know, one of the strengths of our festival to this day is that people get to go into an incredible movie palace and see some work that you oftentimes wouldn't be able to see anywhere in a public setting, let alone in a really beautiful, gorgeous theater. The theater is fantastic. And then our audiences are really known. When you talk to filmmakers around the world, our audiences are known for being bigger audiences that come out for short films, that come out for these alternative, experimental, artist-made films, and being really enthusiastic, really engaged. I mean, we have this part of our festival called What the Hell Was That? And this was inspired, you know, a little more than a decade ago by one of our longtime friends of the festival, somebody who used to bring students here, who's been a juror. And this woman came up, she was just, you know, a longtime audience goer, and said, you know, what the hell was your movie? Like, what was that? Like, what the hell? You know, I don't get it. And he had this great conversation with her, and that inspired him to start this whole series of showing some of the more challenging films. And then talking about them with the audience is kind of a sidebar program. And that's something that we brought back a few years ago. And we're going to be hosting that. It's a free event, you know, great opportunity for anybody in the community who goes, I don't really know what experimental film is. I don't know much about it. Go to this, because you're going to get an opportunity to see things that are not obvious, that are not easily understood and explained, and have conversation with some of the more knowledgeable people in the country about, well, why is this art? Why is this interesting? What's going on here, more than maybe meets the eye to sort of the you know, person that's used to just going to see stories in the cinema.
What are some of the other talks and panels that we have to look forward to this year?
Well, we have, of the 47 public events, a dozen of them are free and open to the public. So basically a quarter of our festival, there's no charge, which is pretty amazing. So you can go see a lot of great films. There's some artist talks as well. The jurors, we have three awards jurors. And on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so March 28th through March 30th, they do free screenings of their work. And so those are going to be really fantastic. Peter Rose, Michael Robinson, and then Kathy Garretts is going to be showing films from the 50-year history of the Ann Arbor Film Festival. She's a film programmer and curator from San Francisco, the Pacific Film Archive, very renowned cinema out there. And so those are going to be screenings that I would strongly encourage people to catch. The Penny Stamps lecture is part of our festival. For that week, we have Craig Baldwin, who is one of the most accomplished, influential, dare I say notorious, sample-based collage video filmmakers. I personally consider him kind of a mad scientist of, you know, the mashup, the collage, cut-and-paste approach to filmmaking. And he's one of the most dynamic individuals, artists that I've interacted with, and I'm very excited to see what he does on stage, talking about his work, his approach to it. And so that's definitely not to be missed program. And the night before, we're showing his film Rocket Kit Congo Kit, which is one of his earlier works that played in Ann Arbor back in the 70s. And so we're trying to draw a lot of these connections throughout the whole festival week, so that on a Friday night, you know, you're going to see Gus Van Sant's 1979 short film as part of our new works in competition. And we're going to sort of weave these all throughout the week. So you're going to get quite an education. It's sort of like a condensed film school, but probably a lot more festive if you come to more than a few programs at this year's festival.
How do you make those selections of what people need to see as part of that education?
You know, that's a good question, because there's so many, it's hard to choose. But there's also the ones that have become sort of more universally played and watched, and so they're not as interesting or rare for us to bring. And then there's what's even available, because so many of those films from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, trying to track down a copy of it or the filmmaker is, you know, that could take years, or that could take more time than we had. So a lot of it was, what were some of the notable films that played in Ann Arbor that were influential to other generations, to other artists, or for what they represented? And also runtime, because we didn't want to play long, long archival films in so many programs. There wasn't enough room for all the new stuff. So there's going to be a lot of shorts opening night. There's a two-minute hand-drawn animation by this artist, Robert Breer, who recently passed away, and that played, I think, the second or the third Ann Arbor Film Festival. And this is a film that, you know, 1957, it influenced generation after generation after generation. And we have the third film in Don Hertzfeld's trilogy. So Don Hertzfeld is one of the most loved and accomplished, acclaimed hand-drawn animators, and you'll be able to see this lineage. You'll see that, you know, 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago, here's this stick figure animation, and here we are celebrating this artist who's become very successful for drawing stick figures, you know, and he's throwing some other things in there as well. But we're very excited about having that intergenerational conversation that's happening on the screen. And then obviously afterwards and before and at the after parties, you know, between, you know, a lot of the filmmakers who are in their 70s and 80s who are going to be here, right along with, you know, 20s, 30s, a lot of the young generations that are excited about, you know, all the creative possibilities that are out there.
What are some of the new young filmmakers that we have to look forward to this year?
Well, I would say one to draw attention to is actually one of the awards jurors. And we wanted him to be a juror this year because he is one of those young, very accomplished emerging talents. And Michael Robinson has won awards in Ann Arbor. I think about 5 years ago, he won, I think, the Most Promising Filmmaker Award. And, you know, he has work that's selected in the Whitney Biennial at this point. He's starting to get to that point where he's getting retrospectives of his own work, and he just turned 30. So, you know, for us to have somebody of that generation who's also working a lot with sort of pop culture references, and then have somebody like Peter Rose, whose work is screened in Ann Arbor since the late 60s. And he's got close to 40 years of work that we're going to get to see some of at his screening. So, Yeah, there's going to be a really wide range. There's a lot of artists that are coming in, even from overseas. We have a filmmaker coming in from Japan for her short film Emblem, which is playing, I believe, on Saturday night. I don't have the whole entire roster memorized yet. That's what I guess our website's for. So this year, we're showing more films than we've ever shown. And that's maybe to be expected at a big 50th celebration. But last year, we showed 188. This year, we're showing 233. So it's a pretty big jump in terms of that many more films, videos, live performances. We're also doing an entire project that we haven't done before called 50 Screens. And this is video installations, moving image installations throughout Ann Arbor. And so right now, you know, leading up to the festival, Encore Records, the Nichols Arcade, Gallery Project, they all have video-based installations currently running. And we have an artist up University Slusser Gallery on North Campus who's installing a video environment. And he's built really amazing video multi-channel installations around the world. And he's coming in this year to build something really spectacular up on North Campus as part of the festival. So we have more than 50 screens that are going to be illuminated with moving image art. And it's hopefully another way that this community, that people coming in to this community, really celebrate film as an art form, the moving image as something that's creative. It has incredible possibilities. And I think it's such an important antidote to the fact that we most of the time are being sort of fed commercial and entertainment material and content. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but we just receive so much of that in our daily diets on television and on the internet that to have artists that are working solely for the purpose of creating art on the screen with sound, with all those possibilities, we hope that that is something that really inspires people and that gets people talking and thinking about what's possible within this whole exciting format and this whole media of video and film.
What do you have for families and for kids this year?
Well, this year we're, I think, in the fifth year of our family-friendly program that the Ann Arbor District Library is a community partner in, and that is Saturday, March 31st at 11 a.m., and that's a program where we say appropriate ages 6 and up. It is not, you know, cartoons just for kids. This is experimental films, animation. We're showing a 3D video-generated film from 1971. We're going to pass out the glasses. And this is an artist who was an artist in residence at AT&T. And she was experimenting with video-generated content. And it wasn't until years later that it was discovered that this was in 3D because she didn't intend to do that. But the color choices made it a pretty great 3D piece. And so we're going to have that piece show along with some really great works that are just going to be visually captivating. They're going to be short. The program's about an hour. So if you do have a 6, 7, 8-year-old, we understand their attentions are a little shorter. So getting through that hour, and it's just a $5 ticket for that program as well. And it's one that I'm really excited about because those films are films that I think adults will appreciate on multiple levels, where that 6, 7-year-old will probably appreciate it more just for the colors, the sounds, the visual side of it. And I've got actually I have three nieces who are between the ages of 5 and 10 coming in. And so I'm excited to talk to them all about what they saw with their uncle after this program.
Yeah, what kind of reactions have you gotten from, particularly from kids, for this program?
We've gotten great reactions. It's become a pretty popular program. You know, we started it not really knowing what we were doing. And so trying to make sure there was a program where you knew that it was at least safe, that you were not going to expose your kids to something with nudity or with, you know, content that was a little too mature. You know, and our festival's not rated. I mean, essentially it's, you know, this is artists making work. It's very much about expression and free speech. And so, you know, a lot of the festival may not have anything that shocking or provocative. And then there might be one film and one program that's really pushing some buttons. And so this is a program where, you know, we still consider it very much artist-made cinema and very engaging. And yet we don't think that there's going to be anything that's going to be too inappropriate. We do a little test screening with a bunch of friends who bring their kids. So we get a sense for what, you know, what we think is going to be appropriate. And then also hopefully keep their attention. We don't want to show anything too slow that starts to, you know, put them to sleep.
Well, and you're approaching the point where some of the kids who saw one of those first ones are getting to the point where they can now engage with the rest of the festival.
No, it's true. And I think there's actually a number of adults in Ann Arbor who were going to the festival at a pretty young age. I've talked to a lot of people who've even moved away. And I've talked to people all around the country who said, oh, yeah, I grew up in Ann Arbor. And yeah, I used to go to the festival. And wow, it was amazing. Like, we would see stuff that, you know, maybe at age 12, we weren't even supposed to see, but it was so exciting. And so, you know, actually, Michael Moore, we just did an interview. He's up on our website. And he talks about that, you know, Ann Arbor Film Festival was so important to him. And it was the first place he ever saw naked people. And he said that he was like, no, it was a good thing. You know, just, you know, helping, I think, sort of show the world through the lens and the eyes of artists is really, to us, very much the point. And, you know, I think there's things that could be provocative or shocking to some people, but really we see that that is very much the role of art. You know, we're not doing it just to shock or provoke, but really there's a lot of things that in this world are provocative and shocking, and we want that reflected in the, 230 plus films that we're showing. There's going to be a wide, wide range. And that's, to us, very exciting to have all of that in 1 week on pretty much one place.
What are some other particularly interesting picks that you have for this year's festival?
Well, we are very excited that Bruce Bailey is going to be here. He's a filmmaker who had a full program of his films in 1963 at the first Ann Arbor Film Festival. And he'll be here. So that makes him in his 80s. He rarely goes anywhere. He doesn't make appearances very often. And this is one of the most influential filmmakers of the last half century. He's not one of the most famous filmmakers of the last half century. So I'd be surprised if very many people have heard of him. But he founded Canyon Cinema. He started the San Francisco Cinematheque. And he's influenced generations that have influenced generations and so on. And so we're going to dedicate three programs to his work. And it's just an incredible opportunity to discover one of the great artists, one of the great masters of independent cinema of these last 50 years. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that we really want to sort of stress for people in this community is that we know you're not going to know most of the filmmakers. A lot of these filmmakers, you know, we haven't heard of before, and they're making really exciting things that, you know, years later, you might hear about them, and we get to be ones that say, yeah, well, we knew about Ben Rivers 5-6 years ago. We were screening his short films, and now his features win it just won top prize at Venice, which is going to play Sunday at our festival. And so you get an opportunity to be very much ahead of the curve when you go to a festival like ours and see these artists. And so Bruce Bailey is definitely one that we're excited to be hosting and paying tribute to. And then Barbara Hammer, for our Out Night program on Wednesday, the 28th of March. She's another legend of independent cinema, of queer cinema. She made a film called Dyke Tactics in the very early 70s, which is just a landmark film that's gone on and influenced things like The L Word, you know, were built off of the work of somebody like a Barbara Hammer. So she's going to be here for our Out Night program. We're going to show several of her works along with a few other historic works from the last 40 years, actually last 50 years of queer and LGBT cinema, including Jerovi, which is a film that almost got the founder of the festival fired from his job at University of Michigan. So we'll see if that one still is as controversial as it was back then. And yeah, Barbara Hammer just came off a month-long retrospective of her films at the Tate Modern in London. So she gets to go from that right to Ann Arbor, and she's excited to be here. You know, she has a long history with Ann Arbor, and, you know, to have artists like that come here, and again, to be in conversation, to be hanging out in the lobby and after parties with a lot of the younger artists as well is very special to us, and we hope our audience gets a chance to come out and be part of that.
What are some themes of the work this year? Are there any threads you've seen running through them?
Let's see. Well, in terms of themes, I mean, I guess to answer that, one is we definitely saw at least a few films that were responding to what happened a year ago in Japan, the tsunami. And so there's a couple works that deal with that directly. There's a couple programs that are focused on Japanese avant-garde cinema over the last 40 years. And it's not in direct response to that, but that is going to be a thread that runs throughout, I think, the whole week. There's also a couple programs, one of films from the Arab world, and then one of films by Omar Amirale, who's a Syrian documentary filmmaker who recently passed away, who's considered by many sort of the greatest documentary filmmaker of Syria. And those are very timely in terms of what's been happening with Arab Spring and politically within that region. And so, you know, outside of those sort of two different regional focuses, I would say that, you know, there continues to be a lot of interest in terms of sampling material, making something new out of what exists, documentary footage that has been captured and then becomes source material for something new. And so that's a really dynamic part of what's happening within artists is, again, that sample, collage, mashup approach. But at the end of the day, I think what's interesting for us is when you look at the films back from the 60s all the way up through now, is that in many ways, an artist who makes a great piece is an artist who makes a great piece. And whether it was Gus Van Sant in 1979, or it's Rei Hayama, whose emblem was made just this past year in Japan, they're both great works of art that hold up and we hope stand the test of time. And so that's very much, I think, sort of that theme is that it's really these independent individual artists that have their vision and express it in really different ways. You know, somebody like Peter Rose is somebody that I'm excited he's here and that we're going to show so much of his work because he just sees the world in a way that I don't understand. And it's very exciting and inspiring because in some ways he's almost more of like a scientist who then expresses rather than, you know, experiments within a lab, he's expressing it through the camera. And you talk to this guy and I mean, he's just, I would say, you know, sort of genius level, but just a really fascinating person in the way he sees the world. And a lot of the artists who we're going to present throughout the week really just have these unique ways of looking at the world. And I think it just opens up our worldview. I think it opens ourselves up as creative individuals, what's possible. You know, and so to me, that's one of the most exciting parts of it. And having those people here, I mean, so many of the people, the artists come in and, you know, whether it's in the lobby after the screening or before or at an after party or even walking around town, having those interactions, those conversations is very much a part of, I think, what makes this festival special, not just here locally, but for people who get in and want to be a part of it. People are coming over from other countries and from around the country, from around the U.S., because this doesn't happen everywhere. This is a pretty unique festival, and it's something that we try to make sure people here locally are proud of and at least come check out a little bit and sort of get a sense for what it's all about.
To learn more about the Ann Arbor Film Festival, visit aafilmfest.org.
Music for this episode was Shoot to Kill by Mark Boole and the Habadudes, which you can find on the AADL catalog by going to aadl.org/magnitude. AADL Talks to Donald Harrison has been a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.